Hello and welcome to iVow. I'm Jenny Prisk and delighted to be sharing a conversation this morning with Alaa Balsatne of Damascus, Syria, but more recently of Chicago in the United States. Welcome to the program, Alaa.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're delighted to have you. You have an amazing story for a young woman. And I wonder if you would take us back to the early days of your work with the Syrian Revolution and how it all started, and paint that picture for us.
Sure. Back in 2011, in March of 2011, I remember walking into my home and the TV was on. So naturally, the news was playing, and I hear the presenter say that a group of kids in Damascus, in Dara, of a city 40 minutes away from the capital, Damascus, were detained by the Syrian authorities. They were a group of students between the age of 9 and 10. These kids were detained because they simply wrote on the walls of their school, "We want to topple the regime," in graffiti. So the principal called the authorities and took them in. They imprisoned them for a week. They tortured them. One of them was skinned and killed, and his body was returned to his family. So, I mean, later that night, I had plans with my friends at the mall, and I thought to myself, there's no way on this planet that I'm going to go about in my life just normal and have fun with my friends at the mall and just hang out. Meanwhile, this is happening to kids on this planet, in a country where I was born. It didn't seem right at all. So I looked around the room, and all I found was my laptop, and I thought, aha. It was my aha moment. Mm-hmm. This is the window to helping everyone that I can reach through social media, through this computer in Syria. And I started adding activists and talking to them and telling them that I speak both English and Arabic fluently and that I can help them in any way possible. And that's how the network kind of built up for me. It wasn't a 1-2-3 agenda that I had, or I did not organize it and say, okay, this is how I'm going to start. It was very natural, very organic. Started adding activists, and then found myself spending 6 and 7 and 8 hours a day, and to the height of 10 to 11 hours a day, organizing with activists, translating for them, connecting them with journalists in different countries to make sure that they get their story out, to tell the rest of the world that they are protesting for freedom and democracy against a brutal regime.
That is an amazing story. Now, tell me about your parents, and I believe you have a brother. What did they think of your actions?
Mm-hmm. So I have a very supportive family, very open-minded, and I thank God for that. Both of my parents were very open to the fact that, yes, I am using social media to help activists on the ground, but to keep in mind, yes, I do come from a Middle Eastern family that is a Muslim family. So for them to hear their daughter speak to guys they don't know at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning via Skype, it was different for them because they're not used to it. And yet they were very understanding. They were very supportive. I mean, I remember till now my mom would come into my room and bring my meals in so I can eat, so I don't forget to eat, because I would go days without a routine because everything is coming about without me being used to it. And fast forward a couple of months when I decided I want to reach out to doctors in the Midwest, and I'm pretty sure we'll talk more about it, to collect medicine so I can go into Syria. I mean, my dad did not stand in my face and say no. He said, I will buy you that ticket, and I will do anything to make sure you're safe, and yet to make sure that what you're doing continues.
Your story becomes richer and more complex and yet more compelling as you tell it. What do you think was your catalyst for wanting to become involved so deeply in the revolution? You said you were going to the mall with your friends. Mm-hmm. Possibly they all went to the mall, mm-hmm. but why didn't you?
I am passionate about human rights. Ever since I was in middle school and in high school, I started looking more into what's happening around the world to children. I remember my first protest downtown Chicago was for the sake of Sudanese children and women. And it was through Amnesty International. So I've always had this passion for women's rights and for human rights in general. But it hit home when I heard about children being tortured in Syria. Where I was born and where my roots are, where my cousins were raised, it didn't seem right for me to continue on with my life without stopping and helping.
So you felt compelled to move and to take some action. Now, you, I understand, have also lost some of your contacts, friends in Syria during this, those who were there mm-hmm. reporting on the ground. Can you tell us some more about that?
Yes. The first time I've experienced death, or the meaning of death in my life was when a friend of mine called me on Skype and told me that Omar, an architect student who spoke four languages, who was organizing protests for women from the minorities in Homs, a big city in Syria, was sniped and killed by the Syrian regime. That is when I felt completely devastated and locked myself in my room and cried for 3 days straight. Omar was the first one that I've lost in Syria, and unfortunately he was not the last. The list goes on, and it's sad because people like Omar are the ones that are supposed to rebuild and take control of Syria, a democratic and a free Syria. And we're losing them by the minute as I'm speaking right now, to TNT barrel bombs, to Russian airstrikes, to sniper bullets, to extremism.
It's a very frightening scenario. Do you fear for your own life or for your members of your family's lives?
In terms of fearing for my own life, no, I don't fear for my own life because I'm not the one that's facing TNT barrel bombs and sniper bullets. I fear for everyone in Syria. I fear for my friends who are still organizing protests weekly and did not lose hope and faith in the revolution. And they did not lose hope and faith in the international community to help them as it gets more complex in Syria. I did get death threats. I got death threats from the Syrian regime. They want to make an example out of me. They're waiting for me in the airport. As the time passed by, I stopped opening death threats and messages that seem to be hateful and negative, because all it's doing is it's trying to affect me negatively, and that's not what I want. I want to continue helping children and women on the ground.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just mentioned the international community's involvement. Do you think the international community is doing sufficient work for Syria?
No, not at all. I don't think the international community is doing sufficient work. I truly believe that the international community as a whole can do much more for the Syrian children, for Syrian women and civilians and citizen journalists, that all they want is freedom and democracy.
What would some of those actions look like?
At least to start off with is a no-fly zone, so that And I know that's easier said than done because of the Russian airstrikes, but now in the Syrian airspace, you have the Syrian regime bombing civilians with TNT barrel bombs. You have Russians with the Russian airstrikes supposedly attacking ISIS, but in reality they are attacking civilians and activists. Along with the coalition that the U.S. has built to attack ISIS. And yes, they are attacking ISIS, but I truly believe that if all that stops and there's a no-fly zone in the Syrian air, there's going to be less bloodshed on the ground.
Now, in light of that, you, at your young age, have toured the world. You've talked with foreign affairs ministers, you've spoken to leaders of countries, you've spent time with Hillary Clinton and others in high political office. What do you say to them, and what sort of a response do you get from them?
In these high-profile meetings, what I try to be is the voice of the Syrian child, the voice of the Syrian female who cannot leave the country and sit around a table and talk to them and show them what's going on. So I paint the picture, I show them videos, I show them pictures of the reality of being in Syria right now. Politically, I'm not in a position to ask for action, but I do mention that there is need for a no-fly zone in Syria. I do talk about the humanitarian aid that needs to keep going to Syria and not be supplied, to be cut off the refugee camps. And that itself is a whole different disaster when it comes to the Syrian refugees. So, I mean, to answer your question, I try to be the voice of the ones that are unheard on the ground in Syria.
Do you think you were heard?
I think I'm heard, but there needs to be action.
Mm-hmm. Did anything evolve or come out of your attendance at the State of the Union address in January this year of 2016?
Yes, definitely, and I was really happy to be invited as a Muslim Syrian American activist that is facing trouble on the streets of the U.S. because of some certain politicians, and it's unfortunate for some political gains. But as a Syrian myself, being heard by media outlets, being heard by politicians, being heard by as many people as I can reach out to tell them what's going on in Syria, to advocate for Syrian children and females, yes, I truly believe that I was heard.
Excellent. So are you hopeful that you may see some changes in approach or in action from the United States government as a consequence of that?
I believe that there will be, I've made connections and the conversation will continue.
Now, let's look at your life too. You have gained a political science bachelor's degree and are still studying, I understand, in and around all the activities that you're carrying out. Have you created a team yet or needed to in Chicago to support you on your with your groundwork?
I've created a team of friends, supporters, activists from all different backgrounds and nationalities that are willing to in a heartbeat go out and protest, in a heartbeat call their representatives and tell them what's going on and what they're advocating for. And the broader team that I'm very proud of is the hundreds of messages that I get from millennials saying that they look up to me and I inspire them, and that because of my work they are willing to take that path and advocate for their own causes. So these are young adults and adults that are taking a new approach to the positive use of social media for their own causes, and that itself is something that motivates me to keep going.
it's good to hear the positive side of the use of social media in your sense, although a really positive side would be if you didn't have to do anything at all, I understand. Do you think the fact that you are a woman makes any difference to the success you can achieve in this activism?
It's harder to be a woman and to be an activist, and believe it or not, still in 2016. I still get messages from people that say, I mean, you're a female, you belong in the kitchen, you don't dress appropriately, whatever that means, even though I wear the headscarf. And I am liberal about it, and I am I do have my own point of views in the way I dress, and it's not anyone else's business, but they don't understand. I still do get messages from in threats from Jabhat al-Nusra, which is an extremist group in Syria that threatens to execute me like they executed previous Americans if they were to see me in the region. And yes, that's because I'm a female, that's because I grew up in the States, and quote unquote, because I'm open-minded, as they put it. So it is very hard to be a female and to be an activist and to achieve success. But I will not say, I will not stop because of these messages and because of these threats and because of these sick people.
While we're referring to women, I know that during war or any civil unrest in a country, it's always the women and children who suffer most. And at the beginning of our conversation, you talked about what drew you to this movement. But are they still suffering the most in this situation that's become so tragic with the huge numbers of refugees and the other areas that perhaps some of us don't even know about that are going on?
Yeah, definitely. The women and the children are suffering the most, and unfortunately they are. I'll give you an example. In Syria, the capital is Damascus. The outer skirt of Damascus, the suburbs of it are being sieged off, which means children and females and elderly and ill and the ill cannot leave these suburbs, nor can medication or food enter these suburbs. Therefore, for the past 7 months, they've been cut off completely from the rest of the world, and they're dying off. The Syrian regime is using starvation as a weapon, and therefore women and children are the number one civilians that are being attacked by the Syrian regime and by Hezbollah, the Lebanese militia that has entered southern Syria to, quote unquote, defend the Syrian regime.
If you could stand face to face, eye to eye with Bashar al-Assad, what would you say to him?
Oh, I would definitely not be able to stand face to face and eye to eye to him. They'd probably kill me before I do that. But I truly hope that, and I've been saying it since the start of the revolution, I truly hope that Bashar al-Assad ends up like Gaddafi, like the Libyan dictator that was killed in Libya by the hands of the victims and the females and the mothers and the sisters and the daughters of the people that Gaddafi has killed.
So, on a slightly happier note, we're speaking in San Diego at the Joan B. Kroc Institute for Peace and Justice. You are here to address, on three occasions, the 700 or 800 students who are assembling for WorldLink. What do you want them to understand? What's the importance of your presentations to them?
I am delighted that I've been invited to WorldLink, and I'm super excited and happy that I will be speaking to students here in San Diego. It's quite an honor. My goal is to motivate the students and show them that if one person did it, then you can as well. You can use social media as if you will, a very strong and a positive weapon to advocate for your own cause and your own rights, to speak up, to raise awareness, to keep the conversation going, and to show them what is happening right now in Syria. I have pictures that I have taken on my trips to the liberated areas and the underground clinics that I am sure they have not seen before, and that will open up their eyes to the bigger picture of the world and what is going on overseas.
Do you think the media is representing the situation in Syria fairly and correctly?
Definitely not. The media is not representing not even 2% of what's happening in Syria. As we are speaking right now, Jenny, children are eating grass in cardboard boxes. Women are being raped in Assad's prisons. Just before I met up with you, I was reading that one of the women that was recently released, and she is now in Turkey, has been raped 22 times the first night she was detained by the Assad regime. And you know what? Even after I heard that, the first thing I thought of is, thank God they let her go. Because other women are not being let go. Other women are being let go the other way, which means they are being killed. So it's really hard. The media is showing as if it's ISIS versus the Syrian regime, where in reality it is ISIS, the Syrian regime, Hezbollah, Russian airstrikes, Iranian militias are on the ground in Syria attacking civilians.
And for what reason?
Because Assad does not want to go.
Many of us in the United States, and I think in the global community, feel that we are not being treated to the true story. And many of us feel helpless and frustrated. Is there anything that you have mentioned some factors, but is there anything specific that you would like to say to the citizens of the United States and the global community that we can and should and must do for the Syrian people?
Definitely. When one of us hashtags Free Syria on Twitter, two things happen. You raise awareness and you show your friends and your family and your followers that you care about this cause. And two, activists on the ground and citizen journalists see that tweet and they get motivated and they say, hey, you know, Jenny in San Diego cares about me. She knows of my existence. She knows of my struggle, and therefore I am motivated to continue.
Would you give us that hashtag name again?
Hashtag Free Syria.
Hashtag Free Syria. So you're saying that I can go to my Twitter account or even to my Facebook account?
Yes.
And I can send a message of solidarity to the people on the ground who are fighting the revolution?
Definitely.
Excellent. You have said that in your future, your desire would be to build a bridge between the Arab world and the United States. It's one of your ultimate goals. Mm-hmm. What does that bridge look like?
That bridge looks like students coming from over there studying over here and vice versa. That bridge looks like women from all over the States and women all over the Middle East are sitting around a table and sharing different visions and goals and opportunities. And not worrying about being raped or detained or facing TNT barrel bombs and sniper bullets.
Would you like to live in Syria again?
Down the road, I would love to take my future family and children to Syria and show them where I grew up, where my parents grew up, where I was born, and to show them that Damascus is the oldest capital in the world, and they should feel proud that their mom was born in that city.
Well, I truly appreciate, on behalf of the listeners of iVow, all that you have shared with us, And just before we conclude our conversation, do you have any final comments that you would like to make or any requests that you would like to offer?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you so much. I'd like to tell any female activist that is right now listening to me to not give up, no matter how negative or how hopeless the road may seem sometimes, because I've been down that road. And I know it's a very dark tunnel, but I promise you that at the end of the tunnel, there is light.
Thank you so much for sharing all your activities, your thoughts, and your wisdom with us today. This is Jenny Press concluding this interview with Alaa Basatner.